Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Wells.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome back. It is In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Live edition. 3 hours with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh on Twitter at Bogman Sports. Is it the Welsh? That's both of us. You can go back and listen to anything on demand if you missed it. You can get it, I think this show's on Spotify, all the places that podcasts are. This one is. Some of the places that the normal In This League podcasts aren't. But this one you can catch. And you can listen live on iHeartRadio and the Fantasy Sports Radio app every Saturday as it airs live 4 to 7, as long as we don't get bumped, Bogman.
Spotify is still boxing us out?
Yeah, I don't know. I've been too busy. I haven't even tried to bother with it. I submitted it ages ago, and I've looked, and the only thing when you search In This League on Spotify is this show that we do.
Okay.
Yeah. Need to get some people pushing us over. But if you guys want to follow along with the ITL universe, it's similar to the Marvel universe, and one day I will snap, and it'll be all gone. But until then, we're in phase two of everything, and you can follow along over on Patreon, patreon.com/ITL Army, and we have a lot of fun over there, and it's a good support system because even though we're here, we're doing this show, Bogman and I all on our lonesome. In This League is our own venture, so you are literally, we're like a, I heard a thing talking, it was like a stock thing that was talking about this huge push.
Buy, sell.
That it was talking about, there's this huge push now in people wanting to support local businesses. And it doesn't matter if it's, you know.
Where do you live?
Grocery.
We're local.
Yeah, we're local. If it's grocery, if it's, you know, there's breweries, there's all these things now. And people have an affinity to find their local thing and they hold that dear to their heart. We're like your local podcast. Like, that's what we are. We're not, we don't have a major affiliation. We don't have any support. We are listener supported and we try to give back completely to them, but we're the mom and pop shop of podcasts.
Yeah. Yeah. That's us. We're the little, just to steal a phrase, we're the little podcast that could.
Oh man. Can you imagine if somebody else used that term that was enormous and wasn't actually little like we are? Can you imagine? Am I killing you?
I'm dead.
Yeah.
I mean,
you're dead.
It's like I'm at game 83 of losses at Carl's Jr. So yeah, well, I'm dying.
You got up in arms. You were telling me about this. Something in the basketball world got you up in arms. I want to talk. We're going to only spend this segment on it because the basketball playoffs are just around the corner. I do want to talk about standings, but I've got this queued up. So you tell me when to hit it. But you are all worked up about some audio about your favorite Houston Rockets.
Rockets. You know what? I'll let everyone else be the judge before I taint this with my anger. So why don't you go ahead and play it first?
All right.
And then everyone will be able to figure it out.
So this is James Harden. This audio, this looks like this is from TNT, maybe NBA TV.
This is Donnie McLean, the Clippers play-by-play guy.
Okay. Just trying to give credit to wherever it is. So I can't tell if this is NBA TV or TNT, but it's not us, and this is James Harden at the free throw line. If it wants to play. Here we go.
So here it is. I just feel like, Ralph, this style, what Harden does is manipulating the game somehow, like almost like cheating it somehow. And I don't really have a thought beyond that other than I'm watching something that isn't basketball. Like, to me, basketball is player movement, ball movement, design plays. Not just a guy walking it up and isolating every time. And I just feel like, and that's why I brought up that point earlier, that who else could do this? It's not like he's, you know, it's not like within the system he's getting all these numbers. The system is built for him.
So is he drunk? What the F is he talking about?
I don't know. Sorry, I have no idea what he's talking about because, I mean, first of all, number one, he says, who else can do this?
Russell Westbrook, just give him Russell the MVP? Westbrook averages a triple-double a game.
Right, right. And who else can do this? If you don't like it, stop it. And guess what? They can't stop it, so Harden keeps doing it.
The dumbest comment in there was, I think he's cheating the game. I don't have a comment beyond this or a thought beyond this, but that's what I think. What are you talking about?
What are you talking about? By the way, that game, kind of a normal-ish game for Harden. 37 points, 7
at them at that free throw.
Yeah, 31 points, 7 boards, 7 assists, no steals or blocks in that game. He had 6 turnovers, which he does. He shot 60% from the field. He went to the line 12 times, 10 of 12, and 3 3-pointers. So, and he didn't even have his best plus minus, his plus 16.
You know how stupid that comment is, by the way? You know what that is? That's like an NFL announcer being like, you know what? This option play really isn't football. It's like they're manipulating the game because these quarterbacks take the ball up right to the line of scrimmage and they pitch it off. It's just, it's not like it's real football. Football is about, sitting under the center and then they hike the ball and then they throw it or they run it. Not this option stuff. I just feel like I don't have a thought beyond this, but I feel like this is like cheating the game of football because football doesn't advance. Things don't change. What a dumbass. So I don't care about Harden. What a stupid ass statement.
I don't even have to do the fighting here.
I was about to say, I'll let
you
do
the
fight.
Was that the first time you heard that, like word for word?
I never heard that. I've never heard that before. That's an asinine statement. It's an old fuddy duddy. Sounds like he had a couple drinks earlier on and he's like, you know what? I just don't like that. Like, he doesn't pass to his teammates. This isn't real basketball. What is this, street ball? What are you, the professor, James Harden? Shut up, you dumbass. What are you talking about? Guess what it is? Basketball. And you said it right. Stop him if you don't like it. Has he seen the losers that James Harden plays with? Chris Paul plays 40 games a year. Clint Capella has to play under the basket. James Harden holds that team up. It's so stupid. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Who was that?
That was Donnie McLean. By the way, you did hear when he said cheating the game, right?
Yes.
Donnie McLean, first NBA player to be popped for steroids. That was in 2000.
Oh, what a dirtbag. Who would take this idiot safe? I mean, okay, he had steroids before. He's probably on something when he said that. That is,
You did ask if he was drunk.
His thought process, like, this is why I think he's drunk, by the way, because what that is that someone who's like annoyed. Like, he sits back and he's just like,
well, by the way, the Rockets are only blowing the doors off of the Clippers at that point. They're up by 32, but they're up by all of Harden's points.
But you know what? He sits in a room with the guys that are like, bat flipping is bad. They should be punished when the guy is bat flip. And they're like, yeah. You know, like, they shouldn't be able to touch the wide receiver and blah, blah, blah. And it's all these.
When I was playing, the game was different. You know, James Harden, throughout his career, why don't you take a guess at free throw attempts per game?
Oh, it's like 13.
For his career.
It's not that. 7.
8.5.
Okay.
Michael Jordan.
Yeah, probably 9.5.
8.1. Okay. So Harden has more. There's more fouls called now.
Wait, is his argument that James Harden takes the ball up so much he gets fouled and he takes all the free throws? Is that what
he said? Cheating the game. So I got to assume that's what most people's thought processes are. They don't like watching James Harden shoot free throws.
I didn't catch that from him. I got it because he said, he's like, it's not like the game where these players come up and they isolate and then they take the ball up. And I figured what it was.
Players always isolate. But especially in the biggest parts of the game, it's just that Harden does it the whole game.
But see, if you heard him also talk, Boggs, he said, he's like, basketball is about passing and separation. And so what he was getting at wasn't about free throws. It was about that James Harden takes the ball up, he shoots, he just piles up shots, and he takes it for himself. He's saying that it's not the game because there's not ball movement, you know, and there's not, you know, pick and roll. There's not situations that are set up. It's just isolation basketball. That's what he's pissed about. And it's old fuddy-duddy stuff. It's just someone should have said stop. Like,
someone should have said shut up.
This is a dumb statement.
What are you talking about?
You don't like it? Okay, fine. There's plenty of people don't like James Harden in general. plenty of people don't like his bat. Kobe Bryant openly was like, this is not the way that you're going to win championships. But hey, guess what? The Houston Rockets need it, and that's what he's doing. And that's what James Harden is doing. But he's like, this is not the way to win. I think those are fine takes. To say that he's cheating the game because he's taking a bunch of shots, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And I don't even like James Harden.
Chris Paul, sixth in the league in assists per game. James Harden, 11th. They're on the same team.
What is he talking about?
So there's passing going on in these games. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of games where James will ISO, you know, those 50-point triple-double games. Like, he's doing a lot of that stuff. But this is just, it couldn't be a dumber statement. And he wants to give the MVP to GA, who, look, if Antetokounmpo gets the MVP, fine. Antetokounmpo.
Oh, okay.
I think it's Antetokounmpo, but everyone just says Antetokounmpo, so that's what I'm just going to go
I'd
with.
I say GA.
So, yeah, that's what I'd say.
I think GA deserves
it. On NBA takeaways, I say GA.
I think GA deserves it. I mean, the team's got the best record in basketball. Yep. He's an unstoppable force. I don't think that's a stretch at all.
No problem if he wins it. But the stuff that James Harden has been doing with all the scoring, and especially with when he says, who else can do this? That's like, that might just make the case for Harden to win the MVP anyway, because who else can do what he's doing? Teams know he's going to get the ball and he's going to score, and they still can't stop him. They can double team him. They can do whatever. He's still getting the rack. He's still knocking down threes. He's still drawing fouls. And you know what's going to happen going into the game, and he's still doing it. So, I mean, if that is not the definition of domination, I don't know what is. But this struck a nerve in me. And apparently it struck a nerve in you, too.
Well, for you, it's about the Rockets, though. Like, you don't, because you're defensive of the Rockets, and that's where you take it.
Well, of course.
For me, I immediately got taken to just the idiotic, old fuddy-duddy stuff that I'm so utterly sick of, where it's like, well, you know, we bat flipping is bad for baseball, and, you know, back in the day when Joe DiMaggio, and then in basketball, it's like, well, you know, the three-pointer, it's kind of a fake thing, and, you know, this blah, blah, fast-paced basketball, and we want defense, and I just shut up. Just let the game evolve. Anybody that isn't okay with the sport evolving is an idiot. Like, you can like your own things, totally like your own things, but to say that his game is cheating basketball, that is so
especially
stupid.
When you're the first guy ever,
you're the poster child.
You're
for
literally cheating.
What a idiot.
What a dumbass.
But and like I said, I'm only, it's just it's that type of stuff. Like,
does any of this matter? Like, it doesn't. I mean, the Warriors are just going to win the title again, right?
They should. Well, I mean, I think there's some competition. I'm interested
how think they're the most beatable Warriors team they've ever been, right?
That's interesting how you're saying that. Maybe. So. I mean, I think the East is dangerous. Like, what I think is interesting is the West, the playoff teams are locked, but the order is not set. And the Thunder and the Spurs have been going back and forth. They're fighting to not play the Warriors in the first round. Though I do think, to what you're saying, I think the Thunder might give the Warriors some fits with Paul George right now. The Thunder are a dangerous team to play right now. But it's interesting how those teams are set. The seeding isn't quite locked in. There's a little bit of movement, and it's probably really
only
just
three games left for most teams too.
And it's really probably only the real movement is going to be about like who plays the Warriors, because like 4 and 5, There's a game separation, but it doesn't matter. If they move, they still play each other. In the East, though, that's what's interesting, where the top five teams are locked up, and it's not settled, but it's kind of close to set as far as like what 1 through 5 looks like. But then 6, 7, 8, and 9 have adjusted. The Detroit Pistons, when I did NBA takeaways, dude, when I did NBA takeaways the other day, right here on FNTSY and for the NBA, the Detroit Pistons were in 6th place. As I'm looking at this right now, they're in 8th place, and the Miami Heat are one game out from knocking them out. That's how much movement is going on with the bottom of the East.
Well, dude, I 2 weeks ago, I was like, well, this is going to come down to, are the Magic or the Heat going to make the playoffs? And now they can both make the playoffs because the Nets and Pistons have been on such a downturn recently The Nets and Pistons are both 3-7 in their last 10 games and have a two-game losing streak as I'm looking at this right now. So there's just there's a ton to be determined yet with the seeding and stuff. But, you know, I don't – the Celtics and Pacers is, like, probably going to be the only good Eastern Conference series, I think. I think for the Eastern Conference,
you
it's
mean
all about
the first round? Wait, what?
Yes.
The Celtics and the who?
The Celtics Pacers? And the Pacers.
Okay, for the first round, yeah, because like I think
like the Bucks versus whoever gets the 8 seed, the Raptors versus whoever's 7,
yeah,
Philly versus whoever's 6, those are quick series.
Who is your team in the East? Because I'm team 76ers. I think the 76ers, even though the Bucks have been they've been nuts, there's just a lot of injury stuff going on with them. The Celtics, I think, are one of the more complete dangerous teams, but I think the 76ers are the absolute most dangerous team in either division. And I think they're a wild card here to the point where I think they hold the cards for NBA championship win. Like, I think that's how dominant this team can be, and they are going to be an absolute force in the playoffs.
It seems like they're definitely clicking everything at the right time now.
And their starting roster, I mean, if you really want to go apples to apples here, go Warriors, who have an incredible starting five, versus the 76ers. I don't know, man. I mean, obviously, you know, Steph Curry is next level and Kevin Durant, you throw those two guys in together, but the stupid 76ers with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid and Jimmy Butler and who am I forgetting? Tobias
Ben
Harris.
Ben Simmons.
I said Ben Simmons. And Tobias Harris.
Toby Harris.
And
right.
J.J. Redick. I mean, right. It's insane. It competes with anybody and they've got a form of a bench. I think the 76ers are the team. They might be the most interesting team to beat across the board, but any other thoughts on the East or the West?
No, I think the West is going to come down between the Rockets and the Warriors again. I think the Nuggets lack experience in the playoffs. You know, the Blazers lost a lot of punch with Nurk. Utah is a good team. The Clippers are good, and the Thunder are good. I think the Thunder of those 5, 6, 7, 8 seeds, like you said, probably the best to make some noise.
Yeah, most dangerous. Like, I could see, I would not be shocked if the Thunder knocked off a team like the Nuggets, if that's what was going on. But I like a Warriors 76ers championship game. NBA Finals.
I like a Rockets Celtics.
Of course. I can never get you off the homerism. I just can't do
it.
Well,
if I had to pick for real, I would pick the Warriors and the Bucks.
But I mean, it's hard to go against the Bucks. It's just, I mean, who did they lose? Middleton's been banged up. They lost Brogdon. Bledsoe's been playing at the top level.
But everyone else is good.
Yeah, they're a pretty damn good team. NBA playoffs. But guess what? The season ends on the 10th. NBA playoffs are around the corner. And you can check NBA takeaways right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And, of course, you can check it out over on NBA Sound System, where Bogman and I, we're covering it all. We're covering all the stuff. You got us set. When we come back, we're going to talk about the NFL draft, which is very, very, 2.5 weeks away, 2 weeks away. So Bogman's going to lay down some
right
knowledge.
Right when you have your tickets for Endgame.
Right.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
It's in this league.
It's got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
What are electrolytes? Do you even know? It's what they use to make...
In this league.
I'm the smartest guy in the world, says who?
IQ test you took in prison. Brought to you by Carl's Jr.
You know, cool thing you can check out over at InThisLeague.com is we have got a bunch of fun ITL-based stuff. Like, we've got the shirts, we've got the 99 problems, but my draft ain't won. We've got, I think, an ITL jersey. We've got the drunk baseball ITL logo shirt. We got the Body by Cheeseburger, which is kind of now officially the Bogman Carl's Jr. shirt. We've got those going on. We have also got, if you do a little bit of searching, you can find the Prospect One hat. If you are a baseball nut and you like dynasty stuff, my prospect show, I drop every Friday, every week. And I just had a really good one, too. Boggs, you probably would be into it because I had Emily Walden from The Athletic. And what's, I mean, there's a bunch of stuff that's interesting about her. But one of the more interesting things is that she's had a heavy focus on the minor league pay structure and how minor league players have been underpaid.
I love that stuff.
And she's been writing a couple articles about it. And we talked for about 25 minutes about some of her stuff. And some fun questions I got to poke at her, like, you know, have you had, what type of players have you had that have been in your DMs about how great this is, and have anybody, has anybody been negative? We talk about, and I kind of lay it out in three parts as well. Like, you know, what's the problem? What's the life of a minor leaguer, and how do we work through this and fix this? And I have an interesting perspective being out here in Arizona that, you know, I'm out here at the rookie level and these complexes, and I see these guys that are at the lowest level. The first time these guys come over to stateside. And so I kind of add to the conversation, but if you like that type of stuff, plus the fantasy take on prospects, check out Prospect One. You can find that anywhere podcasts are. And it's a good guess. Emily Walden from the, literally everybody we know is at the Athletic, but us.
Well, you know, we're too busy having rants. So
yeah, I'm getting mad about the stupid announcers railing on James Harden. That's what's going on. But I got a P1 hat. That was the whole point of it. I got a Prospect One hat. We got to get the ITL hat up. I'm going to try to work on some of that stuff.
Can you please give me my Prospect One hat and you wash it first?
I'll wash it. I'll wash it for you. Yeah.
I met you today. You did not offer it to me at all.
I didn't think of it. I didn't think of it at all. Yeah. You were nice enough to offer it up during one of the baseball games where I didn't bring a hat. That was actually the baseball game where we got burned.
We were being cheap. Yeah. And we got sunburned.
Can you imagine if I didn't have a hat?
You were already like sunburned on the top of your head. Yeah, so
it was bad.
You had just like shaved your head. Yep. So there was a lot of sun coming through in there. Dumb. I mean, I've had that before, you know, right after I shave my head, especially since, you know, when I shave my head after growing my hair out, it's like it's white as snow up there. Like there's the sun has not seen the top of my head for years and years at that point. So if I go out in the sun for longer than 3 minutes, I get sunburn on my head. And that's the worst. Like your head is itching all the time.
So why not get a Prospect One hat to block it for everybody?
That's
so you can check
cover
that
it
out. Hopefully have an ITL, an actual In This League hat up soon. It's just all about the logo. And we are doing a test run of some ITL die cut stickers. We've got our first test run coming here in a couple of days. And if it works out, we'll release a couple of the first run ones. And then we've got a whole bevy of other ones that are going to come up. So if you like the universe, that is us. We got some cool products for you, and we'd love for you to check it out. Shirts, a couple hats are going to be in the works, maybe some stickers. And InThisLeague.com is a great place to check all of it out. Now, we're going to flip over to the NFL draft, which is on April 25th. Is that right? April
25th? 25th, yep.
20, ooh, what's that 3 days after, Bogman?
Your birthday.
There you go. There you go. Am I going to have a pleasant birthday surprise from the 49ers?
I think you're going to get exactly what you expect.
An offensive lineman?
Nick Bosa.
Okay. That's what I want. So that's what
Like we talked about this, and by the way, I would like just a touch of credit for before all the Kyler Murray rumors came out. I said that I think the Cardinals are just going to end up taking Kyler Murray and flip Josh Rosen, because if you're ballsy enough to go out and sign this, you know, Cliff Kingsbury to be your head coach, why wouldn't you let him bring in the perfect player for his system? And that's Kyler Murray.
No, it's a great point. And I, if people had listened to our shows, this is one of those victory lap things we can do, but Bogman's 100% right. He had been saying this forever. And I was kind of critical of it, 'cause it was like, well, dude, Kyler Murray's going to go to number one overall. And you were 100% right. And I want to talk about, I want to go through a mock draft. And I just want to remind everybody, you want more extensive stuff that we're talking about here in our other podcast form. We are back on the In This League Fantasy Football podcast this week with an NFL draft preview. And we're going to expand on some of the things we're talking about here. And we've got one mock draft we're going to look at on this one. But we're going to be breaking down a multitude of them on this coming week's episode. But to your point and your credit, you have been extensively talking about Kyler Murray, and we're now in this phase where Kyler Murray is the consensus number one pick. It is happening to the point we have pretty full-fledged rumors about Josh Rosen. So before we get to the Josh Rosen trade rumors, do you feel that this is there's no shock surprise that's going to come our way? Kyler Murray is a Cardinal because you had been calling this for ages now.
I mean,
anything
I don't
can happen, of course.
Right, but just, right. I think that I would say I would bet a lot of money that Kyler Murray is going number one overall. I'll say that. And I don't make a lot of bets, but I would throw down a bunch of money on that one. So
how confident do you feel in Kyler Murray as this pick? Because it feels risky.
That's a better question.
It feels as risky of a first overall pick that I can remember. This feels beyond, like, I'm very burned as a 49er fan when, and I think Bogman remembers this, when the 49ers had the first overall pick, I wanted Aaron Rodgers. I'm a California person. I've got family that went to Cal. I liked Aaron Rodgers. That's who I wanted. And the 49ers went with Alex Smith. And
well, did you see that article, by the way, about
the massages?
Mike McCarthy? Yeah.
Out there with Robert Kraft?
Yeah. Come on down here, Mikey. We're going to get some massages. It's going to be great. Blow off that meeting, son. Come on.
But Alex Smith, Ray Rodgers, how about a handy J?
But apparently Aaron Rodgers, just even since that happened, hated Mike McCarthy because he thought it was so stupid to not pick him.
Yeah.
Number one overall.
I agreed. I was angry about it. I mean, Alex Smith had his stuff, but I mean, Aaron Rodgers was the playmaker. He was the guy. It made all the sense in the world. So
and like I said, when he got drafted, he was worried that he wasn't going to come in at 6'2".
Yeah.
Remember? They're like, well, he might be 6'1", kind of short for an NFL quarterback.
Well, I'm going to Utah.
Kyler Murray's just glad he's not 5'4".
But usually it's not a guarantee or anything like that. But the first pick is supposed to be that consensus, like, hey, this is the thing. This feels as risky of a pick. It just feels riskier when the 49ers pass on Aaron Rodgers for Alex Smith.
Are you asking me risk bucks, or are you asking me, like, out of 10, how confident am I about this pick?
I'd like to know both. Like, how risky do you think this is? And it's probably going to, though, relate to how confident you feel in Kyler Murray as a NFL product.
Well, this is a career ender pick. Like, if you don't get it right, everyone's fired.
But is that Cliff Kingsbury?
Staff is fired. Everybody's fired. It's Keim, you know. Everybody down is gone. Okay. So, and it's not necessarily like it wouldn't be the GM's fault, because you're getting this guy because of the coach you brought in, but you brought in the coach, right?
Yeah.
So this gets everybody fired if it doesn't work. So it's like a 10 out of 10 risk, you know.
It's all the risk bucks. If you have 100 risk bucks,
it's
like
100 of them.
It's 100 risk bucks.
Yeah, because if this guy, there's just been so many things brought up negatively about him, the height, the hand size, you know, the way that they ran this stuff at Oklahoma with the, you know, the offensive linemen splitting out a little bit wider than normal, and how they're not going to be able to do that because the hash marks are closer in the NFL.
Off the field has been kind of weird a little bit, you know, with
having
the interviews.
His dad answer his questions.
How about this also, Boggs? Let me throw this at you. Is it also even riskier because the three defensive players that are behind him, Nick Bosa, Quinnen Williams, and Josh Allen, are like, I mean, I don't want to call them sure things, but they feel and look, they have the smell of sure thing defensive players.
I mean, these are super high grade defensive players, especially Bosa and Williams. And when you have the number one overall pick, you get anybody you want. So Kyler Murray is your guy. God bless. Take him. You know, I like Kyler Murray a lot. And it's tough for me to say that as a Texas fan, you know, because it's tough to sit here and say, I like Kyler Murray. He just won the Heisman. Baker Mayfield won the Heisman before him. But you watch him on film, dude, and just like some of the stuff he does is so electric. Like, They're like, well, I'm like, get rid of it. What are you doing? Throw the ball away. And he slips a tackler and he's gone 60 yards for a touchdown. Like he's got a rocket arm. Like he can make every throw. You know, I like him much more than I like the other quarterbacks in this class.
So your NFL product standpoint seems pretty high. He's 100 risk bucks. But as far as the NFL product and the pick to take here, am I off base if I say that you sound like you're an 8 out of 10 on this?
You're saying that I like this pick 8 out of 10?
That you think as far as the pick being made and the NFL product that he is. You don't.
I don't, because Quinnen Williams and Nick Bosa are so good. Like, I just couldn't, I couldn't be sitting at one and take him. I'd
because
have to
you have Josh Rosen also?
Right. Yeah. Well, that's a big part of it, too. I would have to move back to three. I'd have to move back to wherever and take Kyler Murray there. I could not take him if I had the number one overall pick and I stuck with it. I would have to take Bosa. I'd have to take Williams. I'd have to do it.
Well,
I just couldn't take Kyler Murray over those guys.
The thing that's also looming, and it's been really weird out here in Arizona, is Josh Rosen. And I saw a report that was like, Josh Rosen's going to show up at the mini camp or whatever. And it was like, well, yeah, because he's a Cardinal right now. So why would he not? He's not going to be like, no, I'm not going to show up. Of course he's going to. Yeah, that's a stupid thing.
I didn't do it.
But there's a lot of rumors that are floating around. And one of the biggest rumors is Josh Rosen possibly being a Redskin, speaking of Alex Smith, because of that really bad injury. So here's what I want to ask you is, first off, does Josh Rosen get traded before the draft?
No.
This is a post-draft thing. When the Cardinals theoretically have less leverage.
I think they could have more leverage at that point.
They're going to play for a 2020 pick and not one this year?
Well, first of all, if you're going to get a first rounder from 2020, pull the trigger on that deal, you know, do that. But I think that the Redskins and the Giants want him. They say right now they have two offers on the table. The problem is that both those picks or both those trades involve second round picks. They want a one. They're trying to save face. They took this guy in the top 10 last year. They want him to be a first round value for a team. And the Giants have two first round picks. You know, they got one from Cleveland. So if you can move Odell Beckham and you get your future quarterback to replace him for it, now that trade isn't looking so bad, especially if Rosen sticks there and lasts a long time. And I think it makes a lot of sense. I think trading him to Washington makes a lot of sense for the Redskins too, because now they get to, you know, they don't have to go taking Drew Locke or I like Daniel Jones, but I don't like Daniel Jones nearly as much as I like Rosen. So, you know, they don't have to take a risk. They can get more of a sure thing. Sure, he struggled last year in Arizona. Arizona was a complete mess last year. Like the whole thing with Wilkes didn't work. The offense wasn't clicking. He came in too late. Do you remember that Sam Bradford was the starting quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals last year?
Yeah.
Doesn't that feel like it was 6 years ago?
Oh, I mean, it's embarrassing.
That was last season.
Yeah.
He was the starter for them.
But do you think a team like Washington, because you're not wrong about this. I have nauseatingly heard the stuff with local radio here in Phoenix about the Kyler Murray situation. And I've heard some of the radio people pushing the agenda of the team. Like, I know what that is. I work in radio. I know when the team is pushing agenda through the radio. And what they're trying to do is gauge. And what you hear a lot of is the team talking about, the radio people talking about how a third pick, and what they do is they set you up and they say, listen, you're getting a first round pick is unrealistic. A third round pick would be a disappointment, but they're really setting up that second round pick to try to embed it into people's minds so they're not disappointed, because Washington has the 15th overall pick. You're not going to trade the 15th overall pick for Josh Rosen unless the Cardinals are also giving back a pick, which they won't do. They're not that's a bad face look. So ideally,
I think it opens up stuff once the draft happens too, because let's say that, you know, the Redskins are sitting at 15 and someone trades ahead of them to get Daniel Jones because they want Daniel Jones and they know that the Redskins are interested. Now, maybe the Redskins trade back because they can't get their guy that they want. They trade back in the first round and they get a couple extra picks and then they take that later first. And flip it for Josh Rosen.
See, that's interesting because what I was placing
was...
And
I think that second can always be on the table during the draft still, too.
But see, that's where I'm going with it is like the local guys here have been setting people up to really make them understand that you're most likely not getting a first round and you need to be good with it. But hey, guess what? A second round pick that's in the top 15 would be great. They've really been trying to set the table for like if a team, you know, like the Giants... You know, specifically the Giants. If the Giants would trade the 6th overall pick in the second round, that's a huge win. But the Redskins don't have a horrible pick. They got 15 in the second round, and that's most likely what a trade looks like. And I personally think, Boggs, just last thing, You say Rosen doesn't get traded before the draft. I think he does get traded before the draft or during the draft. I cannot see, and I don't see Josh Rosen as a Cardinal during the post-draft.
I think during the draft is most likely, and I think the big thing about the first round, if you are sitting there with second round picks as your offer, you can always wait for the first round to go and then trade Rosen in between day one and day two of the drafts because of the draft days, because those second rounders are still going to be on the table. So like, you know, the Redskins can see if the guy they want is available. And so the Giants can too. Maybe they wind up taking Haskins one. So I just think there's more possibilities if you wait.
I think that's interesting. I think it's hard for the Cardinals, once they've taken Kyler Murray, to hold on to Josh Rosen. I could be wrong, and you're making a good point. So when we come back, we're going to talk about a mock draft that we found from Pro Football Focus, which is interesting, and maybe a few of Bogman's ranks. So don't go anywhere. Final segment of In This League coming up.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99, or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
In This League.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends is in the...
In This League.
In the dark.
All right, guys. MLB season, it's here. It's in full swing. And it's time to swing for the fences, playing daily fantasy baseball with DailyRoto.com. Become the 8th $1 million winner. I'd like to do that. Or another one of the countless number of people who have won hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands, even hundreds of thousands of dollars using DailyRoto.com to help set the DraftKings or FanDuel MLB lineups. If you're playing MLB DFS and not using DailyRoto.com, you, my friend, are doing it wrong. Enter promo code FNTSY for a 10% discount, and you're going to get lineup alerts, projected ownership percentages, weather updates, fantasy projections to use of lineup optimizers that have already produced millions in DFS winnings. That's a 2019 MLB Daily Roto premium package at DailyRoto.com. Use promo code FNTSY and get your 10% discount today. I was pitching a perfect game, and I just gave up a hit in the ninth. I was.
Yeah.
Fantasy projections, the use of lineup optimizer. It's the copy. It's not me.
Oh, of course.
It clearly wasn't me. But
I believe you.
I was pitching a perfect game, though, right? With those reads?
I thought you crushed those reads, and that is not... You know, that's not usually how it goes down. You were killing them.
Lip service. No lip service there. I was doing some good work. So what's the key here? Go to DailyRoto.com and use promo code FNTSY. Why wouldn't you not use 10%? Let me tell you something.
It's
not lip service here. If we could play DFS in Arizona, if it wasn't oppressive, if they didn't want to hold people down and not let them have any fun, I would be doing this. I would use DailyRoto.com.
Oh,
Bogman and I have
kidding me?
Been in a world where we could actually jump on those sites for
a
time.
I would be either living in a mansion right now, or I would be like, you know, trying to find a Starbucks to plug my phone in.
And use their free Wi-Fi. We've been at this point, though. We were able to play some of the DFS sites in the early days. And guess what? We weren't super successful because we weren't also using this type of stuff. I would 100% be using this. I mean, DailyRoto.com, it's a pretty damn good deal, and it's a good place to go. I don't see why not, but I would be using this if I was going in 100%.
100%.
I have got a mock draft here from Pro Football Focus. And one thing we're going to be doing...
Gives me ulcers, this mock draft.
Well, that's why we pulled this one up here, is we're going to be going through some mock drafts on this week's 2019 NFL draft preview episode of the In This League Fantasy Football podcast. So make sure you're subscribed. We're going to be going through a couple. This won't be one of them. This one also is giving Bogman some serious indigestion. So what I want to do is we'll go in little groups of 10 here until the final ones. And I'm going to go through the top 10 of what this mock draft on Pro Football Focus looks like. It was only just a couple days ago. They're going to be updated. And then I want to get your thoughts, Bogman. So I'm going to go 1 to 10. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Number one, has the Arizona Cardinals taking Kyler Murray? Number two, Nick Bosa to the San Francisco 49ers. Number three, Josh Allen to the New York Jets. Quinnen Williams goes to the Oakland Raiders at four. We've got Jonah Williams, offensive tackle, to the Bucs at five. Juwan Taylor, another offensive tackle, to the Giants at six. A wide receiver, DK Metcalf, going to the Jaguars at seven. We've got Greedy Williams, cornerback, going to the Lions at eight. Byron Murphy, cornerback, to the Bills at nine. And Devin White, linebacker, to the Broncos at 10. What doesn't make sense? What makes too much sense? Talk to me about the top 10 in this mock draft.
I mean, the first four make sense. Murray, Bosa.
Sure.
The Jets have been super linked to Josh Allen, but, you know, for the sake of this mock draft, we'll say that's fine.
Can there be any?
I think the Jets are going to trade out of that spot.
Is there any scenario the top four doesn't look like this in some order?
Because
I don't
probably
see
it. Not. That's okay. Probably the top four okay. Players.
I just wanted to make sure.
So maybe, you know, I don't know. I think the Jets are trying to trade out of this three spot. So I don't know what team will jump in and what kind of player they're looking for.
Yeah, I was about to say, what are they jumping in for? Like, I just don't see a scenario where Murray, Bosa, Allen, and Williams aren't the top four picks, regardless of who's there.
Right. So, I like those four picks. Five, I feel like it's been mocked many times. I don't see how they don't do it. The Bucs are going to take Devin White from LSU, the middle linebacker. They just lost Quan Alexander. They need some athleticism and a leader in the middle of that field. It's just like it makes too much sense. So Jonah Williams, not a bad pick by any stretch of the imagination. Alabama offensive tackle. I think that's fine. Not going to happen. I think they're going to take Devin White.
All right.
So Juwan Taylor's fine. I don't know that there's been so many different things that the Giants
I
have
feel
been
like
mocked
Boggs,
for.
I got to tell you, I feel like when I look at something like this, a Juwan Taylor, and I understand where you could easily piece this together with what I'm about to say, but I look at that, and that's almost one of those moves where you look at it, it's like, they take an offensive tackle six overall. That's something you do if you're a winning team and you're trying to protect your quarterback. The Giants, they need to make a splash. And obviously, they could take a quarterback in the second round and positional players. I don't see a scenario where they're not taking an impact player. And to me, I know there's been a lot of rumors with Dwayne Haskins. This seems like a perfect spot for the Giants to trade back and take Dwayne Haskins, trade back to 10, 11, or 12 or something like that. I just don't see them doing this at six overall. But I could be wrong.
Yeah, I think Haskins is good. I think that I've seen a couple mocks with Metcalf there to replace Beckham.
So let me ask you
a big wideout.
Let me ask you about that with seven. Is DK Metcalf a top 10 pick?
I think some players are going to have him on the board as a top 10 pick. Yes.
Do you think he goes in the top 10 then? We don't see wideouts go that high too often.
I think it's a possibility, but I would say probably not.
Okay. Then what else do you not like about this top 10?
I think seven is fine with Metcalf for the Jags. They definitely need somebody else besides Leonard Fournette. They need a second person on offense. You know, you got Foles, now go get him some weapons. And maybe the weapons become better because it's just not Blake Bortles throwing to him. But I've also seen a lot of mocks with TJ Hockenson, Noah Fant going there too. Greedy Williams is not going to go that high. So he's not going to be the first corner off the board. So he's not going to go eight. Byron Murphy to Buffalo is fine, but I don't see any possible scenario where they have Ed Oliver sitting there for them and they don't take him.
Yeah.
And 10 is Drew Lock to the Broncos because John Elway's a crazy man.
Okay. Let's go 11 to 20 here. At 11, the Bengals, this mock has taken Dwayne Haskins, the Cincinnati Bengals. At 12, the Packers, this mock has Jerry Tillery. 13, the Dolphins taking Brian Burns, Ed Rusher. At 14, the Falcons taking Ed Oliver, who Ed Oliver is getting a ton of buzz. Ed Oliver does feel like he's like pushing like a top 10 pick right now.
Before the season, he was like one overall, Oliver was. So
yeah, and
I could see him going as high as five.
At 15, you've got DeAndre Baker, the corner to the Redskins. At 16, you've got Dalton Reisner, tackle to the Carolina Panthers at 16. Jeffrey Simmons, defensive tackle to the Giants, who have the 17th pick. Man, Giants fans would riot if they walked out of the first round with a defensive tackle and offensive tackle. At 18, you've got Andre Dillard, offensive tackle, to the Vikings. 19, the Titans taking A.J. Brown, your first or second wideout, I guess, and the Steelers with Devin Bush, linebacker, to your Steelers, Bogman. So what do you like, dislike about 11 to 20 on this PFF mock?
Devin Bush falls to 20 and Spooky Ghost for me.
Oh, you just lose it?
Yes. I think the Steelers might trade up for Devin Bush. So, and if there's any way Devin White falls to 10, they would probably trade to 10 to pick him one pick ahead of the Bengals. So, because the Bengals could definitely use a middle linebacker. Losing Burfict, and Burfict was terrible anyway.
So, bottom line is you want a Devin in Pittsburgh.
I want a Devin. You're not right. I want one of the Devin. So, but they'll take some person I've never heard of, I'm sure. So, like they did last year. But Haskins is funny, I think, because when I think of Dwayne Haskins, he reminds me a lot of Andy Dalton. So,
really? And yes. Going to Cincinnati would be hilarious.
Oh, my. I would love it. I would absolutely love it. The Packers need a lot of help on the defensive line, so a defensive lineman makes sense for them.
So what's the atrocious thing? Because you said like this mock gives you anxiety. What gives you anxiety about this range?
Well, it's not this range actually isn't too bad. So it doesn't bother me too much. I love Andre Dillard going to the Vikings. I don't think Jeffrey Simmons would go to the Giants. Like, they had attitude problems with Odell Beckham, and Jeffrey Simmons has a little bit of a checkered past.
He's
so.
Loser offensive tackle defense. I want to talk about that. What about A.J. Brown? A.J. Brown is a
A.J.
dude.
Brown to Tennessee would be amazing.
Over N'Keal Harry? N'Keal Harry is not going to be the second overall receiver?
There's a group of wide receivers that any of them could go one. Metcalf, Harry, A.J. Brown. A lot of people like Akeem Butler. I think that there's a big group of wide receivers that could go one overall. I would not be surprised if A.J. Brown went.
Would A.J. Brown in Tennessee be like a huge, awesome deal?
I don't know if it'd be a huge, awesome deal because
him and Corey
of
Davis.
The quarterback play there. But and especially since they said they want Derrick Henry to run the offense, you know, which we all knew. Why didn't you guys know that from the beginning of the season? Mm-hmm. But A.J. Brown there would be it'd be a good pick. It'd have someone to take some coverage off of Corey Davis. And, you know, I think a tight end makes more sense to replace Walker, though. I think a Hockenson makes more sense. Noah Fant, somebody like that.
All right, so I'm going to finish off this mock draft because we've only got about 6 minutes, and I also want to talk about a couple guys that didn't show up here. So at 21, the Seahawks, Nasir Adderley, did I say that?
Yep.
Right? Safety. Mm-hmm. The 22, this has the Orioles take, or the Orioles.
Well, Orioles.
The Orioles or the Ravens. Cody, I'm in baseball mode.
They're all birds.
Cody Ford, offensive tackle. Texans at 23, taking TJ Hockenson, first tight end off the board. 24, Amani Oruwariye.
Oruwariye,
cornerback. Warrior. The Raiders. They love to take difficult cornerback last names. 25. Yeah, the Eagles at 25 taking David Long, the corner. 26, the Colts taking JJ Arcega-Whiteside. I say that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 27, sure. Hakeem Butler to the Raiders, who have two picks in the 20s. At 28, Christian Wilkins, defensive tackle. 29 is Darnell Savage, the safety. And then the final three picks. As the Packers taking Andy Isabella, who's a wideout. The Rams taking Chase Winovich, edge rusher, and the Patriots taking Dexter Lawrence, defensive tackle. So let's not focus on the couple guys, because there's two guys I want to bring up to you that didn't make this top round. So talk to me about what is atrocious here that gives you that anxiety.
I don't know that it's atrocious, but Andy Isabella to me is not a first round pick. He's one of these guys that he got picked in the Pro Football Focus mock because Pro Football Focus and their advanced stats like him. And I'm looking at the pick, and the quote they have is, if you want to pencil him into the slot, sure, he can do that, but he is a vertical threat and can torch defensive back, which is absolutely true. He can do all that stuff, but he's not going to come in and just be Jordy Nelson.
So this is one of those where like they're shooting their shot because he grades really high.
Yes, and I like him a lot, but he's not going to go in the first round. I could see Arcega-Whiteside, however you say his name. I could see him slipping in the first round, like jumping up if this many wide receivers go. I just don't think that's going to happen. I like Hakeem Butler in the first round. So Hakeem Butler going to the Raiders. Like the Raiders draft here, Quinnen Williams and Hakeem Butler. Woof. I don't know that they need another wideout since they've already signed.
I forgot they have three picks. Jesus, I forgot because they have Quinnen Williams.
Oh, and Aurier. I don't even know. Right.
Yeah.
Miguel Anjouar. So
do you think the Raiders, though, they would be a team that might take that like that 24 and 27 and try to like make a thing out of it and move up? Like let me present a scenario for you with, let's say, a team like the Bengals. Let's say the Bengals need more depth because they're rebuilding. The Raiders trade 24 and 27 to move up to 11, and they take a guy like Ed Oliver.
That would make a lot of sense, too, you know.
Okay.
I think that's something that they probably would have already done, but we see a lot of these trades get done in season. I mean, obviously, the Raiders have no problem with making all kinds of impact moves. So.
It's something like the Bengals, you know, had their eyes on Devin White. He goes ahead. They don't get him. The Bengals, they want to, you know, move back down a little bit, get a couple more picks. And the Raiders, instead of getting three first-round picks, they want to optimize and get a big. I just think that's something you could watch out for. You can talk about any other players, but two that jump out to me, at least from our you and I's conversation, is I am shocked to see N'Keal Harry drop below guys like Andy Isabella and Arturo Whiteside.
That's not going to happen. I don't see that happening.
Okay, so, I mean, N'Keal Harry, is he really the sixth wide receiver? Like, I see him as, like, it got to be the third, right? Above Hakeem Butler.
I like N'Keal Harry's my two. So I would take him ahead of A.J. Brown. I'd take him ahead of Hakeem Butler. It also kind of depends on what kind of wide receiver you're looking for because there's, you know, there's obviously differences. Andy Isabella, you know, wide split guy. He can do a ton of things, but I just don't see him and his skill set going in the first round.
Hey, from a selfish standpoint, I'd love for this to happen because that leaves N'Keal Harry for the 49ers in the second round.
Man. I mean, they have good options anyway. They can take Debo in the second round still.
Love Debo.
In this draft, I mean, they've got
Debo's
tons
another
of
one. Okay, but here's the other guy. Actually, I'd love if you want to talk
Marquise Brown.
If you want to talk more about Debo, you can. But the other guy that jumps out to me that you have been preaching,
and there's no way that this will happen,
is Noah Fant.
Noah Fant will absolutely go in the first round.
Yeah, from you, you and I have talked about seeing T.J. Hockenson going at 23, being the first tight end, and no Noah Fant. I just, and maybe you're in the back of my head. I just
Noah
don't
Fant
see it.
Could go at 7 to the Jaguars.
Wow,
he could go at 8 to the Lions. I think he's going to be a top 10 pick.
Where are you going to project? Where you project him?
I say 8 to the Lions.
You know what I would love, Box? Will you do a mock draft?
Can we get a mock draft from you? Come on, guy. I can do a mock draft. Well, you know how
let's
I
get
am.
One for like, the mock. Let's get one for the
I'm
episode.
I'm gonna get obsessive about it. That's
but
my
don't
problem.
Get that obsessive about it.
Like, well, you know I do. Like I can't do this.
Do a mock
like
draft. Do a mock draft for our episode. We're gonna drop next week.
Okay.
That because I think I love your opinion on that stuff, and it's not about being right because mock drafts are ridiculous.
Of course, like, yeah. Are you kidding me?
I think it's
mock
more
drafts. Like I love them because they give us content. But there is nothing more worthless than a mock draft, especially after the first round.
But like, it's like tears for me, though. That's how I see it, because like I want to see how you have Noah Fant, because it's not about him being 7 or 10 or 15. It's just the point that he's a first round pick to you and you have him in the first round. And that's kind of what PFF did here with Andy Isabella. It's probably not exactly. They just found a spot for him. Their point was, this is our guy we're putting our finger on. And I think you have a couple of those guys. And not seeing Noah Fant there was shocking to me just based on how much you and I have talked.
Yeah, I mean, he is 100%. Like, if he doesn't go in the first round, it's because one of those reports came out about him on the day before the draft. You know what I mean? Like,
Bad thing. He had a,
like when they caught the guy smoking weed.
Yeah, I was about to say
mask,
he had a gas mask of weed or whatever. Well, that's the episode. If you guys want more NFL draft stuff, check out the In This League Fantasy Football podcast this coming week. The baseball podcast, we got two episodes. Steve Gardner is coming up this week, so we are going to have you locked and set full way through. But thank you so much for listening here. You guys can listen to the podcast if you miss any of it. Follow us on Twitter at Is of the Welsh, at Bogman Sports. That is Carl Bogman Jr. I am the Welsh. We're out of here.